Welcome to another episode of Friends of Fantasy Benefits. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsOfFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Full disclosure, I just woke up, so if I sound a little groggy, it's because I am. But
I've been up since like 4 a.m. because of my baby, so like...
I don't know which one of us is winning. I'm assuming you.
I'm pretty awake, which is nice. So that's a little change of a pace, and I'm not like completely exhausted, which is also a nice little change of pace. So I think I'm winning.
Yeah. For the record, I have new hours at work, so they've been a little bit difficult on me.
But, yeah, they're my hours. You know. The graveyard shift. So.
Yeah.
But we're gonna jump into some baseball and talk about. Another interesting system, a system that has graduated a lot of talent and traded away a lot of talent. So it's not what it once was, but it does still have a couple interesting players for fantasy purposes. But first, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB and me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So let's just jump right in. Let's talk about the Chicago Cubs. Who you got at the top of their system?
Sure. We're going to start at the top with Nico Hoerner, who actually might be the... He is the closest bat to the big leagues as well. Everyone, you know, he had a really good career at Stanford, but didn't hit for much power. I don't know if everyone's heard kind of the Stanford swing moniker, right? Basically what that is you're not driving the ball. You're more willing to just hit the ball the other way for a base hit or so. And, you know, when you draft a guy like this, think like Steven Piscotty, right? He didn't hit for much power, and now if he stays healthy long enough, I think he can hit 30 homers in the big leagues. And, you know, he wasn't billed as that type of player as an amateur, and Horner's in the similar mold. Hoerner only played, 40 games this year because of an elbow injury. Cut his minor league season short. So the Cubs send him to the Fall League, and that's extremely rare for a player in that year's draft class to get sent to the Arizona Fall League. It rarely ever happens, and that's the case here with Hoerner. It was a strained ligament in his left elbow that cost him the middle of July and August, which when you get drafted in June doesn't leave you much time to play, right? So... he went there to make up the at-bats. He had two homers and 229 career Stanford at-bats. And, you know, he flashed a lot more power. I think he hit more than two home runs in his AFL stint. So that shows you what you're looking at here. I think it's going to cap out at above-average power. He's the kind of guy whose ceiling isn't crazy high. But, again, anytime the Cubs draft a college bat, you kind of have to pay attention because they are the best at churning out value from college hitters. And he's already got the elite bat-to-ball background. Now it's just the fact of growing into the power. I mean, elite contact rates, like I said, 86% at every stop in the minor leagues, 20 homer upside and strong plate skills and an advanced offensive skill set. He should move pretty quickly, and there's a chance he could be the starting second baseman in 2020, which is conveniently when Zobrist's contract is up. It kind of ties into what goes on with Addison Russell. If they keep Russell around, Hoerner might not be the guy in 2020. But if they do the right thing and dump Russell, Hoerner could be the guy in 2020. Not to get on a moral, you know, high ground, but I don't understand how he's still in the organization, Russell.
I don't either. I mean, say what you will about all those things, and I don't think there's any excuse for the things that he's accused of.
Right.
Or even those things.
Fair enough to say that they're not accused. Yeah,
yeah,
we've seen enough. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like it's shocking the organization has not moved on from him yet.
That and they took. I mean, I live in Chicago. Full disclosure, probably know that if you listen to the pods. But there's enough Theo backlash, even from like the Chapman acquisition, that I would have thought they would act swiftly and quickly on this Russell thing. But I think no matter, they're kind of painted themselves into the position of no matter what they do, it's too late, too little, too late already kind of thing. I still don't think he's with the team opening day, but...
Do you think they're going to
be suspended? He's going to be suspended. Obviously he's going to be suspended, but I don't know if he's with the... I still don't think he's with the organization, I'll say, opening day. And I think they straight up release him eventually. But it's taken too long at this point. So.
Yeah, it seems disingenuous if you...
Right. Now you kind of feel like you're caving.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the right decision would have been to drop him after the first set of accusations or the second.
Yeah.
Like, definitely now after the second. It just should have happened.
Now we're going on the third, so... Mm-hmm. But hey, maybe they should just pay him in pennies this year. But anyways, moving on to the next guy in this Cubs system, and it's a 2018 draft heavy list. Three of my top four guys in the system on my prospect list are from this draft. Cole Roederer was a prep bat. He was getting first round grades. He slipped down to the second round because of a shoulder injury that pretty much knocked out his final season in high school, but the Cubs saw through that. I ended up plucking him here in the second round. It's a plus hit tool. Average tools everywhere else. No weakness in the game, though. You're looking at a guy 15 to 20 stolen base potential, 20-plus homer potential. Could be an easy future 2020 guy. He's going to move very slow. Starting to fill out, gain some weight. Gained some man muscles, starting to drive the ball a little bit. Above average regular, ultimate, like Andrew Benintendi kind of ceiling, but it's going to be a little bit. But, I mean, his rookie AZL numbers were encouraging. So 5 homers and 13 stolen bases, and he just got drafted in June, so didn't have that much time to put up those kind of numbers. So, yeah, I like him. And Brennan Davis. Brennan Davis is extremely raw. He's number 4 on my list, but he's in the 2018 draft, another prep bat, so we'll tie those two together. He's number 4 on my list. I got Miguel Amaya between the two high school preps, and 6'4", 175. So obviously the build there is fantastic, and you can tell the projection right there by the 175-pound frame. Rail thin, lanky, wiry, trying to add strength. Easy plus raw power when he fills. Extremely volatile, though. Cole Roederer is kind of the higher floor of these two guys. Davis is the—I don't want to say lotto ticket because the Cubs are developing guys like this, but compared to Roederer, he very much is. He's got some. He's kind of caught in between mechanically, as you can tell by guys that are long and lanky like this. He's got long levers, and sometimes it's hard for people like that who just recently grew into their height. You're probably talking about, a couple years, right? He's only a high school kid. To control the limbs and get and he's going to be susceptible, you would think, to high strikeout rates. But in rookie ball, he had a 14% walk rate and a 16.5% K rate. So if you're already building in your raw as hell like he is, and you're already building on those baseline skills, that's a really good thing.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Miguel Amaya is next, and yeah, he's a catcher. He's a really good defensive catcher who's starting to come on offensively. Probably most notable for being in the Futures game, which, full disclosure, the Futures game is an all-star game, but it's also an all-star game of people with different backgrounds. He's from Panama, and if you are going on pure, like, you know, top catching prospects in the minors, he's probably in a tier or two below that. But they wanted to get some Panama background in there. Really good arm. Really good defensively, starting to come on offense, flashing some power, good plate skills. Probably a, Justin, would you say a catcher that could hit 270, 275 with 15 to 20 homers as top, 5 or 6 catcher ceiling?
Yeah, I think it depends on how stable that batting average floor is. So, and then how safe the power floor is. But I would say, yeah, probably a top 5 to 7 catcher.
Yeah, that's the upside, I would think. A couple arms to get through. And then I'll touch on the last remaining bat on my top 10. Braylon Marquez, Justin Steele, and Edbert Alzolay. I'll lump those three together. Marquez, 6'5", 225, mid-90s fastball. It doesn't have much for secondaries. He's the guy on this list that can, out of the three I just named, that can be a number one starter or a late inning high leverage reliever. With that being said, extreme variance. I would say the chance he becomes a number one starter is less than half of 1%. But you never know. The Cubs actually haven't been that great at developing arms, so again, that's another strike against him. But any lefty that can touch 98 miles an hour with the fastball is going to be in a conversation for high leverage, you know, of some sort. So maybe he's a mid-rotation starter. More than likely, it looks like he's a high leverage late-inning reliever. But the secondaries need to take a step forward, and hitters can kind of sit on the fastball because the change in the curve aren't going to kill you right now. So Marquez has got a track. He's got the highest upside of any arm here, but, you know, that's in this group anyways, and that still is, he's still far away. Justin Steele is like the inverse. He came back from Tommy John this season here in 2018, only threw 46 innings, 90 to 95 on the fastball with above average sink and run, does a curveball and a changeup. He's a back end guy, number four starter if the command gets sharper. And then Edbert Alzolay is the AAA, like major league kind of arm in this system, if there is one. He's got a chance to pitch in the majors this year in the second half. Mid-90s fastball with good command of the pitch. And he has a curveball that he can throw for strikes in his primary pitch to get out batter. But the changeup is going to ultimately decide his role. Right now it's fringe. And he needs a pitch to get lefties out, whether it's a changeup or a cutter. But right now he doesn't have either one, so he looks ticketed to the bullpen. Richard Gallardo was a 17-year-old kid that they grabbed. Low 90s fastball at 17. Pretty good stuff. Again, they just signed him in the international class. He's 17, so we'll see him in 6-7 years. No, I'm kidding, but probably 5 or 6, honestly. So he's got a dream on. And then Jose Albertos, you want to talk about a guy that had a miserable season last year. This is him. You're talking about like I want to pull up the exact numbers because they're that shockingly bad. There's something more going on that we aren't privy to, but a 14.8 ERA, 34% walk rate, and he's a pitcher, so that's not great. Over 30 innings. 6'1", 185 is listed height and weight. He's probably 5'11", and he's probably 225 pounds. Recently, he just grew into that extra weight. I think that's part of the reason why the delivery went to shit and everything kind of tumbled afterwards and the command, everything. Fastball touches 96, 97. The changeup and curve are potential swing and miss pitches. If you remember a little bit, if the name sounds familiar, it should, because, you know, in the Cubs year, they were making the World Series run, 2016, right? Albertos was pitching in the complex leagues. He was a guy the Cubs were actively trying to hide because they were trying to make trades and upgrade their major league roster for the World Series run. They didn't want teams to know about Albertos because they wouldn't stop asking for Albertos and they wouldn't be able to make moves, you know, without giving him up. So they kind of hid him from teams. He'd only throw on the backfields, didn't throw in any games in the AZL or, you know, the complex league, instructional leagues, didn't throw in any games. Now the Cubs instructs they moved him to January since then. It's actually going on right now. But so they hit Albertos, and that's how highly they value this arm. And so, yeah, the season went to shit, but he should be expected to be hopefully gets back on track, and he has a really high ceiling. And Aramis Adaman is the last guy in the top 10. Glove first guy. The bat is at best going to be a 40-hit tool, but he can be a 40-hit tool, 30-power guy with an elite glove. Doesn't sound all that exciting, but in 30-team leagues, guys like that are relevant. And guys like this, with elite hand-eye coordination and that are strong defenders, with at-bats that the glove buys them because they stay in the lineup and add positive value on the bases on the defensive side. The bat comes around last in guys like this, and he's a guy that I think when he adds strength and can start driving the ball, could be that guy. So it's been to be a long way away to get to the ultimate where the bat contributes, but he's in that category for me. Real quick, Alex Lang still has that really good curveball. He could see the majors this year. I doubt it, though. Jeremiah Estrada has some upside coming off of Tommy John. Zach Short has one of the most interesting batted ball profiles out there. If you look at, you know, how you see a couple posts on Fangraphs almost yearly, oh, who's the next Matt Carpenter, meaning who's the next guys that walk a lot, hit the ball in the air a lot to pull side, it's Zach Short. So he's got a high offensive floor. I just don't know where he fits in on the defensive end. Probably a utility guy. Jose Lopez was a international signing that the Cubs picked up this year. So he's a guy to track. And Keegan Thompson, I think, is a potential. The fastball's not great, but he could be a number four starter just based off the rest of the stuff and the command. So the Cubs are an improving system, but it's still in the bottom five. I ranked them out for Prospects Live, ranked the farm systems out. And the Cubs were in the bottom five, but that's not to say, you know, that's kind of by design, I guess, when you win the World Series in a couple, in the last three-year window. So it's not that big of a deal. The Major League roster is extremely young. It's not like we're talking about a team that's old and have a bad farm system like your team.
Hey, we won three World Series.
Not as recently as the Cubs have won theirs, but
I mean, come on, it's 2 years.
I'm done talking praise about the Cubs.
All right.
What I will say is the farm system is not great, but if you're a believer in a lot of their low-level talent, like Roeder, Amaya, Davis, Marquez, Gallardo, Adaman, Albertos, I can see why you might have a slightly higher opinion because it's a diverse group of raw people, if that makes sense. And if you find one that fits your style, like I love Roeder, you know, so that's why I have them ranked 29th out of 30 teams.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on?
Draft guide, baby. Almost done. Prospects Live's cooking. We got top 100s out next week with the Mariners list to complete those top 30s. Giants podcast dropped today, so that might be something you want to pay attention to. And that's it, man. We've been killing it over there and killing it over here as well.
Yep, draft guide is coming out here today. This, even though this podcast says it came out yesterday, we are re-recording in the future and then post-dating it, so that way it's still two podcasts today. So draft guide's gonna be coming out,
that's my bad,
yeah,
my
at some schedule point today. So and when you're listening, hopefully by the time you get around to listening to this, maybe some of you will listen to it right away and it won't be out yet, but check on amazon.com, or if you want to order a draft guide just via PDF because you can't read an ebook or you don't like a paperback, you can email me at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com and I will give you instructions on how to do it that way. So
I will be emailing you.
Awesome. Well, I think you can get a free copy. Just thinking. We're going to give away some free copies too. I got to figure out
perfect
how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, let me in on that giveaway. I want to figure out a way to give something away too.
Yeah, we'll give away a few free copies, maybe for some 5-star reviews or something like that. So
yeah, and I'll figure out a way to give one away as well. I want to figure out a trivia question or something. I like that kind of stuff. So.
All right, we'll definitely do that. All right, that's going to wrap us up for Matt and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.